today we're going to discuss the birth of Abraham, of Yitzhak, sorry, the birth of Yaakov and Esav. And we're going to ask a fundamental question that I think Mefreshim struggle with, all of us struggle with, which is, how is it that the Heilige Yitzchak and Rivka could have a child like Esav? You know, what went wrong? Because I think everybody wants to know, because if we know what went wrong with them, you know, where their child went off the derech. Right, exactly. I think, you know, like, everybody wants to know in advance, well, what did they do wrong so I can, you know, resolve the problem, right? We don't have to, you know, struggle with the issue or whatever. You know, I think that's more of what it is.
Or it makes you think that if they couldn't get it right, then no one could, and then it's not really up to us. You know, we don't have any kind of control as a parent over what our kids become.
Really?
There's no way
to. That's scary.
No, there's like two ways to look at it.
100%. I mean, but I hope we don't want to look at it and say, well, if they had an Esav, then, you know, what can you do? It happens in every, like, you know, I would say, in every family is, you know, one or another, you know. There is some truth to that. But the question is why? Like, how does Chazal relate to what happened to Yaakov and Esav? And so we're going to study today the beginning of the parasha, the beginning of Toldot, and see where it brings us. Just the very beginning about the description of their verse. Okay, so we started to the beginning of Toldot, Perek Chapei Pasuk Yudtet. Says the Torah, Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Abraham, Abraham holid et Yitzchak. And the whole Pasuk is strange and difficult to understand.
Redundant.
The Pasuk itself is redundant, superfluous, and challenging. Okay, we'll find out what is it we learned. Ve'ele, these are Toldot Yitzchak ben Abraham. What do the word Toldot mean? Generations of, or that's one, by the way, what does that mean? Right. These are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Yitzchak. And I had to use the word begat, because it's a good word. Okay? There's more chumashim, if you want on the shelf, if you want to follow. It's fine. See the green set over there? Okay. Right there. Yeah. Abraham, so what does it mean? What are toldot? Generations of. Right. What is the root of the word toldot? Holid. Right. So these are the holid, yeled, the offspring of Yitzchak, son of Abraham. Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. So obviously, why
right.
does it say what?
Yeah, right.
What do you mean, yeah, right?
When does a man give birth?
Oh. I thought you were referring to something else, which the Midrash alludes to in a second. Okay. So let's look at Rashi. Why does it? Well, first of all, the word toldot refers to, so it refers to what's coming after. Right? Who are the toldot of Yitzhak and Abraham, really? The Ela toldot Yitzhak and Abraham, colon, okay, but who really are the toldot of Yitzhak and Abraham?
We are.
Well, we are, but who is going to refer to in the end, in this parsha, who are the toldot going to be?
Yaakov
and Esav. Okay, so here are the generations, the children of Yitzhak and Abraham, colon. Let's start from the beginning. Okay. Abraham had Yitzchak, and then Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esau. You know, so at least we know what we're talking about. Okay, and so then why is it? But the obvious question is, why does it go ahead and say Abraham holidet Yitzchak?
It already said Yitzchak ben Abraham.
Right, if Yitzchak is the son of Abraham, then clearly Abraham was holidet Yitzchak. So let's look first at Rashi. Rashi has a very famous Rashi based on a very well known midrash. Okay, la'achar shekara Kadosh Baruch Hu shemo Abraham, achar kol holidet Yitzchak. First Rashi says, who gave birth to Yitzchak? There's two possible people that could have been the father of Yitzchak. Avram and Avraham. So it says, wasn't Avram that had gave birth to Yitzchak, but Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. I.e., after the breed, after the whole covenant. So therefore, Yitzchak is part of that whole deal. Okay, that's one explanation Rashi gives. Second one, Devar Acher. Al yidei shekatav akatuv Yitzchak ben Abraham, huskak lomar Abraham holidet Yitzchak. Even though the pasuk says Yitzchak ben Abraham, nevertheless I'd also say Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. Why? Lefishayu leit sanei hador omrim me avimelech nit abra sara. Because the leit sanei hador, the scoffers, the Bullies? I don't know. The emailers said, okay, that
the gossip mongers.
The gossip mongers. Thank you. Right? That Sarah really got pregnant from Abimelech. Why? Sharei kama shanim shata im Abraham v'lo nit Abraham imenu. She was with that guy for years, and she couldn't conceive. But and all of a sudden, one night in Grar, you know, and ho, but you know, she's pregnant. Coincidence? You decide. You know what I'm saying? We just report the facts. You make the decision. Okay, you know.
Sounds familiar. Inquiring minds want to know.
Right. Inquiring minds did want to know. Okay. Which I guess is somewhat hopeful that even back then, inquiring minds wanted to know. So what did God do? Tzar klaster panasha Yitzchak domel Abraham. Yitzchak was the spitting image of Abraham. The heidu akol Abraham holidat Yitzchak. And everybody said Abraham was molidat Yitzchak. V'zeu shekatuv kan ben Abraham. Yes, he was the son of Abraham. Sharei edut yesh sheAbraham holidat Yitzchak. That was obvious. It was clear. There was proof to everyone. All you do is look at him and say, oh, that's like, it's like Simon. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right? Stamping him out. That's a, you know, that's they're of the same mold. Okay? Some families are really just like that. And so I guess Yitzhak was a spinning image of his father, Abraham. How did the Midrash know that?
Because the Torah went to extra lengths to tell us that Abram was his father.
I understand that. So you could learn out a lot of different things. You could learn out Avraham instead of Avram. You could learn out a ton of things. Does the Midrash factually know, was there a Mesorah carried on from generation to generation that Yitzhak really looked like Avraham?
It could be, but he did a lot of things that were like Avraham.
Right. So one could look at this Midrash, I just want to point out, one could look at this Midrash in a literal way and say, yes, the Midrash knew, the Baalei Midrash really knew that Yitzhak looked like Abraham, and it was because of the inquiry minds thing. Or you could say, what message does the Baalei Midrash really want to convey to us about Yitzhak and Abraham? What's that?
Same character.
Correct. That Yitzhak, I mean, and one of my students asked me this, I'll have to go into it in greater detail tomorrow. She said, what was so special about Yitzchak? Like, Abraham, I get. He was Megayer, all the people, and everything like that. Yaakov, I get. But what's Yitzchak? Like, what's so great about Yitzchak? What did he do? He didn't really dug some wells, and, like, he only gets, like, half a parsha. Right? He gets this half a parsha. He doesn't even get much of that, because most of this half parsha is really about the birth of his children, and then the stealing of the bracha. And he's this poor, blind, old man who gets duped by his wife and son. So what's so special about Yitzchak? Why is he one of the avot?
But the point you're making,
because he continued on what Abraham started.
Right.
With the wells.
Right. You'll notice that very much all of the stories, pretty much about Yitzchak, are the same stories. That he went to Abimelech. Doesn't really work out as well the second time around. He went to Abimelech and he dug the wells. But the point of Yitzchak is in the strength of his continuity. What it means, I mean, it's very easy. Everybody wants to be a trailblazer. You know, everybody wants to do something new and to branch out and to build and to create. Like, it's really exciting to be the Avraham Avinu. Nobody wants to be Yitzchak. Nobody wants to be the person. And with the trick is, without a Yitzchak, everything that Avraham does is wonderful, but not so meaningful. Because Avraham is Megayer everyone and converts everyone and creates new ideas. You know, you always have people like that. Like, there was a guy in my shul who always came to me with, like, great ideas. And he would say, you know what we need to do? We need to build a mock of the Empire State Building and charge people admission and they'll raise money for the shul. Like, it wasn't that crazy. And sometimes his ideas were wonderful ideas. But the answer to him always was, that's a great idea. Why don't we do it? Why don't you do it? Right. You know, and there were like two things that he was doing, he really would do, but the rest of them were like, oh, it's a great idea, yeah, and you know, like the idea guy is one thing, it's to bring it, put it into fruition, it's to make it happen, is a totally different story. And Yitzchak was the person that said, you know, like, what was the one thing interesting about Yitzchak? Yitzchak was not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because what good is getting Eretz Yisrael if the next thing you do is leave? Like that's what's important. I think that to me is really what the Midrash is saying about Yitzchak. Abraham holidat Yitzchak. Right? Abraham gave birth to a lot of things. He had a lot of children. He had a lot of a lot of different qualities, but Yitzchak was, the way Rashi says it is, it was, excuse me one second, he was born in Tzar Klaster Panav Shel Yitzchak Domel LeAvraham. He looked exactly like him. It wasn't just in the face, it wasn't just in appearance, but it was in the agenda, in the behavior, in the continuing the ways of Abraham Avinu, which is no less significant. Yeah.
But that point doesn't answer why they took the trouble to say, like Tanai Hadar was saying, and this factor proved that he was his biological son, because
right.
You could say any child born to them that was raised in their home would likely take after.
I agree. I know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? I think that there was that Masorah that, you know, like one could say, if you look at the facts of the story, there definitely was the possibility that one could say, well, right after she was there, then all of a sudden she became pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I think that Baalei Midrash and people who follow Rashi and, you know, adhere to what I would say, really do think that Yitzchak did look exactly like Abraham. But I think there's also the deeper message, there's a deeper lesson.
And they technically could have written that without having the exact knowledge that it was true, no? I mean, like...
Yeah, it doesn't have to necessarily be 100% true.
They didn't have to have him so that he looked like him. They're saying, we take from the pattern of this pasuk, the fact that the Torah went to great lengths to show us this fact, that it was evident to everyone.
Again, why would they say a fact if they had no Masorah that it was true? So either you say they had a Masorah and they know it was true, or then they guessed. Would the Baalei Midrash just like guess and make stuff up? Or if they made it up,
they're inferring from the pasuk.
You read from the pasuk, Abraham alidit Yitzchak, Abraham Yitzchak looked like Abraham.
From the duplication of the words, they're inferring.
If you could learn a million things, would you learn that fact out? Is that obvious that Abraham alidit Yitzchak?
Not the Baalei Midrash.
100%. All I'm saying is that there's. I think there's both.
If they wrote it, they have to have some basis.
Right. How is that? I
mean, like a deeper message. I think they're trying to convey an idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A much deeper idea. That Yitzchak was the continuation of Abraham. That he was a continuation spiritually, physically, but also spiritually.
Very often you can't take the Midrash literally.
Right. Right. That's exactly... But she's saying that the Midrash puts it in a literal way. The Leitz Anei Hador and the whatever.
I'm saying the same
what thing. I would say is...
Have to have... I don't know, maybe I'm reading it incorrectly.
Yes.
That they didn't have to have a literal Masorah. They're trying, like you say, to convey a point. Like,
correct.
We know Yitzchak is Avram's kid.
Right.
No.
No, she... It's okay. The question is why? We know, but we know Yitzchak is Avraham's kid from Ela Todot Yitzchak ben Avraham.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Yitzchak ben Avraham, so what do I need? What are you telling me, Avraham holded it Yitzchak? Like, what's this? You know what I'm saying? There's got to be something more.
Abraham gave birth to Ishmael, and he didn't do such good things, but it doesn't mean he's not his son.
Ah, very good. The Yakar says, excellent, you bring me to my next point. Turn back to Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Yud Bet, right at the end of last week's parsha. Ah, sure. There's more chairs over there.
There are chairs here. Yeah.
Feel free. Okay. Piano benches are good too, but... Okay, says the Pasuk, Ve'ele Todot Yishmael Ben Avraham, right? This is the Toldot, again, of Yishmael Ben Avraham, Asher Yalda Hagar HaMitzrit Shifchat Sarah LaAvraham. Okay, who was born to Hagar HaMitzrit, the Shifcha of Sarah to Avraham. So now, Kliyakar points out, there's a parallel psukim. Right? Eile Toldot Yishmael. Let's talk about Yishmael. Who was holidit Yishmael?
Hagar.
Who was
not only Hagar
Hamitzri. Hamitzri, Shivchat Sarah. Right, La Avraham. Okay?
Which would make me say something that Rashi didn't say.
Switch you. Yes.
Which is that it's more of a national or religious point here.
Really? Which is?
The kind of character. The continuation is through Yitzchak.
Excellent. Whoa, one second. The continuation is through Yitzchak or?
The fathers.
Go ahead. You were going to say. Finish your point and then.
No, just that it's Yitzchak is the branch that we build on, not Ishmael.
But we're not looking forward though. We're looking back.
We're looking
Abraham holy Yitzchak.
Abraham. Toldot is a forward looking statement.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, and it starts with Abraham only?
It says Ele Toldot Yitzchak
Ben Abraham.
Right.
In other words, the Toldot of Yitzchak are interesting to us.
But then it says Abraham holid Yitzchak. Let's go back a little.
Right.
Who begat Yitzchak? Abraham did.
Right.
Who begat Yishmael?
Hagar.
Hagar. Okay. So what were you going to say?
So
implies more character.
Yes, correct. That's like a Kliyakar. It says Kliyakar. It's a little long, but those of you who have Kliyakar, we'll read it inside. It's not in there. It's in here. I stole that. Okay. It says Kliyakar. Afal P. Kliyakar is right there. Right,
yeah,
right here. Oh, no. It's, oh, I'm sorry. You're on Tuf Mem Tet. You're on, yeah, going to the beginning of Toldot. Skip to the beginning of Toldot. We're going back to Kliyakar on the beginning of Toldot. On Yud Bet. On Yud Tet. Keep going, keep going.
On Yud Tet or Yud Tet?
On Yud Tet. Right there. Okay. Afal P. Sh'amar Shaya Ben Avraham. Even though he was Yitzhak, the son of Abraham, Mikol Makom, Hutzrach Lomar, Avraham Holid et Yitzhak. But nonetheless, it had to add the point that Avraham was Holid. But Holid means something more than just birth. Why? Lefi Shenamar Ben Ishmael Ben Avraham, Asher Yalda Hagar HaMitzri. Because remember, Yishmael was Holid, was born through the Hagar HaMitzri. Hareshi Yizkir Lashon Ben Esel Avraham. It mentioned the idea of the son of Abraham, Aval Hatolada Tagar Tala Behagar. But the Tolda, the birthing, the Yeled, the Holid, what's the Holid?
Parent?
To cause to be born.
What's he really saying?
To
Holada is the development and nurturing. In a sense.
The reason.
Right. What are we saying? That there's two elements to having a child, which is?
Nature.
Getting them out.
Getting them out, the easy part, right?
And the hard part.
And the hard part. Right. Nature and nurture. That's exactly where he's going. Okay? Tolada, who raised Abraham's son, or who begat him? That was Hagar. Hutzrach lamar kan chitoar haben v'hatolada hako mityaches achar Abraham. But for Yitzchak, who was the nature? Abraham. Who raised him?
Abraham.
Ki lashon ivri yesh chiluk bin lashon ben le lashon tolada. Because ben, the son, is different than tolda. Ki lashon ben yomar lifamim af below tolada. This is when he said, interesting. You can call somebody a son, a child, without having given birth to them. Ki atalmidim kruyim banim. We call our students our sons. Afa pishalo yaladam mamash. Kumo vayihila leven de Moshe. Vatihilo levat de Esther. Right? Moshe was taken under as a child of Bat Paro. Esther was taken into the household of Mordechai. Avraham nikra avhamon goyim. Afa pishalo yaladam. Avraham was called the father even though he didn't give birth to all these nations. V'chen yesh hevdel ben hamelamdo. Obein hamolido mamash. But it's not enough to be a teacher. There's a difference between a teacher and a molid, like a creator in a sense. Kimasha adam mekabel teva melamdo zeo bimikre velo beetzem v'hamikre mishtane mitzana mekabel. So he says a teacher can mold a child, but you know, you can mold the child, then they can unmold. It's temporary. It's not really permanent. Aval masha adam mekabel teva molido zeo beetzem velo yishtane im yunach kach al tivo. It says, but it's interesting when you are born into a certain way, it doesn't change. It's interesting, not never. He says it very interestingly. He says, im lo mitzad rov charitzut v'hishtadlut v'hergel yavo laka lidei teva sheni. It says, but you could change, but it's really, really hard.
So the tolda is the nature, and the ben is the teacher.
He mixes the two, right. Which one is which? Which is the ben and which is the holid? You'd have to say holid is the formation of the personality of. Because Hagar was molida et Ishmael. Mm-hmm. And the ben is just the physical, I don't know, whatever. Lefika, skip to the next paragraph. Lefika, Ishmael lo nikra ki im ben Avraham. Yishmael was only the son. Ki lo yikibel tivo. Zulat mashalim do Avraham mimasem hatovim. Like, Avraham was a role model, but, you know, Hagar was there. What could you do? Right? But, how much could you do? Vizahaya eslo b'mikre v'nishtane. But his nature, where do you get his nature from? His inner nature? From Hagar. Whereas, Sharei l'sof yatzala tarbut ra'ah. Because in the end, Yishmael didn't come out so good. So therefore, lefikach tala ha-dolda b'hagar, ki kibel teva hagar ha-mitzri. Right? Who's responsible? Whose fault is it? It's Hagar's fault. But, you know, and v'ha-mitzriim sh'tufei zima, alken haya gam hu mitzachei v'gilui arayot. The Egyptians, you know, they're very much into arayot, so what can you do with Yishmael, etc., etc. Okay? He got her nature, so you can't change that. It's really hard to change that. And unless you really struggle, it's not going to change. Alkein talah ha-mikre ba-Avraham ve-ha-etzem ba-Hagar. It says, talah ha-mikre ba-Avraham. What was the mikre?
Teaching.
No, the mikre ba-Avraham. It happened. Just the event was with Avraham. Ve-ha-etzem, but the actuality, the reality was Hagar. So what's the mikre? We said the easy part. Right? Having the child. That's easy. The etzem, the main part, is Hagar. Ava Yitzchak kibel teva Avraham. Yitzchak received the nature of Avraham. V'lamad gam ima asab. And he learned from his actions. Alkein talah hakol ba'Avraham hein b'lashon ben, hein b'lashon toledah. Right? Yitzchak, it wasn't just Avraham, it wasn't Yitzchak ben Avraham. Yitzchak ben Avraham could have gone off, you know, hung out in the mall and, you know, in the streets and you learn from whatever. That's Yitzchak ben Avraham. But no, it's Avraham holid et Yitzchak. Abraham raised him. Now here's the question. I think Abraham didn't try to raise Ishmael.
Well, he tried.
But
it didn't. I mean, we saw that in the last parsha.
Okay.
It didn't work.
What did he do wrong?
The Kiyaka seems to be saying two things.
Yes.
On the one hand, he got his nature. So, well, or Ishmael got Hagar's nature and Yitzchak got Abraham's nature, so, well, that's the end of the story.
Right.
But on the other hand, he's saying it's who raised him and who molded him and who he learned from.
Right.
They're two different things.
Yes.
He's saying that Yitzchak got Abraham's nature, so Abraham was able to raise him and mold him.
Right.
But Ishmael got Hagar's nature, so only Hagar was able to raise him.
So he was not intuitively, he was not naturally bent towards the lessons that Abraham gave.
Well, that seems to be what it's implying, but that's
right.
A bit of a scary lesson then, because it says that if you have a child who gets the negative aspects of your nature, well, there's nothing you can do about it.
No, he didn't say. That's very good. He didn't say there's nothing you can do.
Well, you can try, but
what he said.
He also wasn't talking about the negative aspects of your nature. He was talking about somebody who the majority of their nature was one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but because you're talking about Avraham and Hagar.
Right, but the problem is that it begs the question with Esav, is that Esav had two amazing parents.
Well, for us as well. I mean, you can't say that one or the other of you is
awful.
Bad personality. I mean, you know.
I don't know if I agree with you. No, I don't think it's about that. I think that one of the things we all struggle with is we all know we have good parts of our personality and negative aspects. And let's be brutally honest, some of our children, they're not the same. So some of them are naturally inclined towards the things that we like about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And others of them are more naturally inclined to the things we don't like about ourselves. And I won't give examples.
Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
No, I mean, I think we all intuitively...
don't like in our lives.
In our lives. I think we all intuitively know this. You see it right away. That's me.
Yeah. But
if
they've got a nature, then that's their nature.
Wait. Yes. But I think there's hope in what he's saying. a little bit of hope. What?
It talks about Hagar and it talks about Avram. There's no Sarah. Like, you don't have a clear comparison or a fair comparison.
Right, they're not analogous situations.
Like, Sarah has, she's just not mentioned. So you're basically comparing how Avram raised one son versus Hagar raised another son, but where is Sarah involved?
Well, I think what the problem he has to deal with is, how could Avraham Avinu allow Hagar to raise his own son? And like, you know, sure, Yishmael, you want money for drugs? Go ahead. I mean, I think that's our impression, that Abraham just sort of was out of the picture, and he let Yishmael go run wild, and, you know, what would he want to do? His mother's, you know, God, what are you going to do? That's like defies logic also, in a sense. What Abraham would just sort of let Yishmael go off and, you know, do kinds of crazy stuff. We're going to struggle with this with Yitzchak and Esau. Right, we're going to get to that in a second.
I think
what Chazal, well, Lot's his nephew. He Lot,
his nephew that he took with him, Ki'ilu.
There's only so much you can do. You know what I'm saying? How far can you go? You can't.
I mean, Abraham also had a bank. Yeah.
Wait, so let me just answer. I think that what the Torah, what Kliyaka is struggling with is the only difference between, right, the main difference between Yishmael and Yitzchak wasn't Sarah. We know Sarah. We know that there's that. But the nature of, but the, because let's assume that Abraham raised both of them.
So then, it comes down to the mother.
Right. Right. Correct.
That's what I think the message is. It's the mother. It's not the father. Because the father is the same on both sides. It's the mother that you can, that's different.
Then why would it say Abraham from the
Yitzchak? I don't know.
Right. I think what you're saying, there's a lot of truth to that. Like, so it's kind of like luck of the draw. A kid either gets certain attributes or he doesn't get certain attributes. Except, one second. Except the words that he said. Masha adam mekabel teva molido. The things that a person takes in his nature, zehu be'etzem. Be'etzem really means inherent in his essence, in his bones. Atzamot, right? Velo yishtaneh im yunach kach al tivo. Right? It won't change. Ela lo mitzad rov charitzut v'hishtadlut v'hergel yachol lavo lidei teva sheni. You know, unless, of course, well, charitzut is effort, energy, diligence, he can come to a second nature. What I would say...
Habit.
Right. Habituation.
Forming good habits.
Correct. Yeah. What I would say is not that it's impossible, but the key here in this situation is you can't raise a Yishmael and a Yitzchak in the same way. You can't raise an Esau and a Yaakov in the same way and expect them to come out the same. And I think that happens a lot in our day and age. That there's a certain, you know, accepted way of raising children that are going to be, you know, in the good schools and the way they're supposed to be, and, you know, like to push them to do X, Y, and Z, without taking into account the different natures of different children. And you know, and saying that, oh, you know, this child is fundamentally different. And the buttons that worked for, usually the first child is like, you know, the excellent child and wants to excel, and, you know, we made him go to sleep at 7 o'clock, and like by the fifth child, it's like, you know, it's 9:30, maybe you should think about going to sleep. You know what I mean? That's very typical. It's really, really typical. But the fifth child or the third child is fundamentally different. And the things that worked for the first child, you weren't like, why aren't they working anymore?
I think it's more about the parents than the child, though, in that case.
Yeah.
That the first children, like, stick more by the rules and they're more successful. I think the parents have more energy. I don't think it's about the children.
Really?
Yeah.
What I'm saying, though, is parents, we kind of habituate how to raise our children by the first kid. You know what I'm saying? And this kid brushes teeth every night. How come my other kid's got all these cavities? Well, do you ever make him brush his teeth? I don't make any of my kids brush their teeth.
You have less energy by your fifth and sixth
child. I mean, which is an entirely different issue, but okay.
What?
It's both. It was like Abraham, like Sarah was his first wife. Sarah was the special one. So the child with her was, he put more energy into it.
You think so?
Maybe.
One does not. I don't get that sense from the text. I don't get that sense at all from the text. That it says, you know, it says, "Kach le'ad bincha et yechidcha asher ahavta et Yitzchak." And the Rashi says right there, it says, "Bincha." I'm saying I got two sons. Et yechidcha, they're both my special sons. Asher ahavta, Abram says, I love them both. Et Yitzchak.
Right, but that's a parent's nature to be defensive. Like, no, I love all my children equally. But Hashem, who knows the real story, says, I know that it's your one son, your special son.
Ooh, okay, all right.
So the fact that Hagar, it says Hagar holid et Yishmael,
yeah,
seems to imply that Hagar had more of an influence and more whatever.
But the way Kli Yakar is reading it, I'm just saying the way Kli Yakar is reading it, it's he does not say Hagar raised Yishmael, which he could have very easily said. See, Sarah raised Yitzchak, Hagar raised Yishmael. He does not say that. And I think he doesn't say that because Abraham would never let Hagar raise his son. He would never let Hagar HaMitzrit raise her in the Tarbut HaMitzrit, you'd say. So instead he says, what can you do? He was Teva Hagar HaMitzrit. He had the nature of Hagar. And therefore, unless you really go above and beyond to try to root it out, in a sense, to go the other direction, it's going to be part of you.
But
yes.
Wasn't the whole idea of Hagar having a son like as a present as to Sarah, because Sarah wanted it.
Yeah, yes, it was, and it was supposed to be in the place.
It was
supposed to be in the place of Sarah said, you know, she wanted to be the surrogate mother of that child, but didn't work out that way. That's not, you know, she had a good idea, but it didn't work out.
Did they decide that it's not going to work out, that he has...
As soon as Hagar probably... It says that Hagar started acting...
Hagar ran away.
Right. What's that?
She was pregnant, she was sent away, no?
She was pregnant. She ran away when she was pregnant.
Right. So already by that point, Sarah probably saw, this woman is not letting me...
Correct.
...be the mother.
And yet, she came back. Why did she come back?
Why did Hagar come back?
Yes.
Security.
No. Why did Hagar come back? Very simple reason. Right. Amalek came to her and said, go back. So she, okay, I'll go back. You know, that there was this, it's interesting. It's very interesting, you know, family dynamic. But that's what he says, and I think that there's a lot to be learned from that, and I think that there's got to be a certain awareness of it. I think we oftentimes forget. Like you said, we naturally try, let's talk about our preferences, we try to treat our children in the same way, in an equal way, in our own sense. We try to ask of them the same things, we try to make the same requirements of them, we try to have the same expectations of them. You know, even though we say it, that it's not true, it really is true. Like, oh, your brother got a 90, why don't you get a 90? You know, and the children, in a sense, they sense that expectation. They themselves feel it, right? They want everything to be equal, right? You know, and as much as, should I tell them what I say or not tell them? I'll make myself look bad. Well, very often when kids say, my kids will say, what?
Depends what you're...
What I'm saying. How come he got a candy bar and I didn't get a candy bar? Right. So my answer to them always is, and I'll just say it tongue in cheek, because I like him better. And they hate that. You know, and they say, no, you don't. You know what I'm saying? Because they can't deal with that.
You're giving a class on parenting?
I don't like when they ask how come. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want personally them to stop, and it really works in general. They don't ask anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because they know I'm going to say that. And they know it's not true. And what I'm trying to teach them is that each child is different. And sometimes, it happened last Friday. One of the children really worked hard helping on Friday, and I wanted to reward him particularly because he struggles with it. So I specifically gave him, you know, money and let him go to the ice cream truck. I was like, that's huge, you know, because the ice cream truck is like almost never, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and they all hear it, and they're all like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You know, like, you know.
Would it be wrong to throw stones?
At the ice cream truck? Yeah.
Want to.
Right. He knows, that ice cream guy. And another child was really almost devastated, how come I didn't get ice cream from the ice cream truck? Yeah, and it's a good question. But the answer is because that's not what you need today. Like, your extra above and beyond isn't in that area. Your extra above and beyond is in a different area. You know, and like, on the one hand, you really want to explain, you want to give them all the same. But I think that's sometimes the worst thing you can do. Right? Because then what does the first child see? Oh, I killed myself, and he gave me ice cream, and all he did was do his homework, and he got ice cream too. Why would I kill myself then? You know, it's really, you're caught in between. It's very hard to not treat them equally, in a sense, because they're so different.
Sure. In the context of, to say the Arabs and the Jews, or the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Yitzhak, when we learn these things, are we supposed to, is the lesson to see that Ishmael was inherently not a good kid, and he wasn't, like, we always learn these things kind of in black and white.
Yes.
They were bad and we were the good, and mm-hmm. This is where our descendants come from because we were so good.
Right.
But is that...
Well, let me just say, first of all, your question is a very good question, but I would say, very very often in this context, I'm talking about these people as individuals and parents, and, you know, I'm saying, learning it from, you know, how we relate to our children. You're asking on a much more broad level. How do Chazal paint figures in Tanakh as national figures, as representatives of nationalities?
I mean, Yishmael got a bracha that they'd be a wild nation, and that they
Para Adam,
yeah,
right,
they
right,
would
right.
steal from others. So it is, as a nation, that's what their future...
The very best, that's good, it's true. The very best example of this is Esav. The very best example. If you read the text of Esav, right, if you look at the pshat of Esav, Esav is a good kid. He really is, and we'll see in a second. If you look at what Chazal do to Esav, wow, they rip him to shreds. There is no black, there's no gray in Esav. Everything Esav does is bad. You know, okay, in the Psukim, mainly good. I mean, what comes out when you read the Psukim about Esav?
He was gypped.
He was gypped, okay. What comes out to me is he's a doting son, totally and completely dedicated to his father. He's a little boorish. You know, right? Dad, get up and eat. You know what I'm saying? But his father says, I'd like some meat. I'm like, would you grill me a steak? And he runs out, hunts down the, you know, deer, cuts it up, and you know what I'm saying? What do you want from the guy? Like, you can't win, in a sense. And what does Chazal do? Everything Esav does is bad. Why? This is again one of those things, one of those issues that we see, because Esav is not just Esav. Chazal viewed Esav in the context of his descendants. And Esav's descendants didn't really get along with Yaakov's descendants all that well. Right? And they were very good at oppressing us, inquisitioning us, you know, murdering us, decimating us, things of that nature. So it's very hard then to say, go back and look at Esav with, you know, just, you know, clear mind and say, well, what about Esav himself? It's very often the figures in Tanakh get painted in the with the colors of the descendants who came out of them. But that's very different than the specific, you know, parent-child issues that we're learning about. Did you want to say something before I go on? No. Okay. That Kliyaka then takes this on, and we're going to continue a little bit, and says, okay, if that's true, what happened to Esav and Yaakov? Right? If my theory is correct, that if you have an inherent nature, right, that it's going to, what happened to Esav and Yaakov? I'll tell you. Okay? Kidei shelo yimtza ha-ma'ar, I'm doing the next paragraph. Kidei shelo yimtza ha-ma'ar makom lechlok. Velomar im Yitzchak no lai kokak v'dushav tara. Im kein lama yatza mimenu Esav. Right? What's that again? So if Yitzchak was so great, how did an Esav come out of him? Shaya atzad nashim tachat ba'alehem. It says, interestingly, one of the things the Midrash says Esav would do was he would tzad nashim tachat ba'alehem, entrap women while they were under their husbands, in a sense. Again, this is one of those very interesting, right, things. It takes you back to Hanukkah, the story of Hanukkah. One of the famous things that the Romans would do. Romans? Yes. To the Greeks. Jews. Greeks? Sorry.
Hanukkah's Greeks.
Right.
Greeks.
That's why I asked you. Romans, Greeks?
That's why I answered Greeks.
Thank you. Okay. What would the Greeks do in the Midrash before a woman get married? The night of her wedding. Right, they had the right of you know, first marriage, as in a sense. And this is a very famous thing that people would do to oppress a minority. So who, of course, this goes back very much to the point, who, of course, did this first? Tzad Nashim, Esav did it. Okay, where does he get this from? Okay, Vadai, one second, I'm going to skip a little bit. Hine, Lefi Darkenu, Kedei Lahasir Hirhor Zeh, so that you won't wonder about the amazing nature of Yitzchak, Amar HaKatuv, Bekachto et Rivka, Babtuel Arami, Mi Padan Aram, Achot Lavan Harami. Whose fault is it?
Ancestry.
It's his ancestry. What are you going to do? Right? V'rov bani machar ache ha'im. This is actually genetically true. Right? You want to know if the father is going to be bald, the child's going to be bald. And look at the mother's brothers. And look at the uncles. Right? So the kid follows the nature of the uncles. Alken kibel echad min habanim teva shel lavan sayad haramai. One of the children got the nature of Lavan, the lying, entrapping jerk. And you can read on and see why it mentions three different natures. It says Rivka, right? Bapituel haramim. So Bituel was, of course, the, you know, rapist, you know, whatever. Mi Padan Aram people were just the gluttons. Achot Lavan harami, and Lavan was, of course, lying, cheating, stealing, you know, corrupt man. And so, of course, what do you get from that when you take all the combination of all those different qualities together? What do you get?
Esav.
Okay, what are you going to do? No. What can you do? And that's how he answers the question. How do you get a Yitzchak on the one hand, a Yaakov on the one hand, and an Esav on the other? Well, one of them came from Yitzchak, and one of them came from Rivka.
But you can still work it.
Can you have a hard time with, like, Avram and Sarah's backgrounds, where they come from? Like, what was Avram's father, such a tzaddik?
Avram himself was like...
Avram broke
But who gave birth, by the way? Who gave birth to Yitzchak?
Abraham,
not Avram. Changed his essence. Yes, changed his essence, changed his name. You know what I'm saying? Unique, special. Who gave birth to Yitzchak? Sarah, not Sarai. which is very interesting. It's very interesting.
I don't have time with this because it's saying that this is their nature. They got it right. Esav himself, as an individual, wasn't such a bad guy. But look at his generations after him, how bad they were.
Yeah.
Let's say you can work as hard as you want. Yitzchak can work to make Esav into a good man, and he was, according to the Pshat. Mm-hmm. But look what happened to the generations after him anyway. Like, what's the point? If you've got a bad seed, just let them be a bad seed. The generations after them anyway will be bad. I mean,
no, I think that he would say, well, let me put it this way, because the Mefarshim, for sure Chazal, definitely Bishonim, they look at things very differently than we look at things today. We do not put very much stock in genetics today. Why? Because we are extremely democratic. We live in a world where it doesn't matter how you're born. You always have the option of choosing how you want to be. Right, and in fact, birth in today's day and age, birth is almost, I wouldn't say almost, it's totally inconsequential. Right, in today's world, it doesn't matter how you were born, where you were born, what you were born. Rather, it's the choices that we make. Whereas Chazal and Judaism don't view that. This goes back way to, did I discuss this all that whole article last week? Did I talk about it in here? The who is a Jew thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Goes back to that very nature, that very question. Right, the question of like to what degree is inherent nature, we would call it genetics, but it's not just genetics, it's spiritual nature, it's teva, it's, you know what I'm saying? Zera Yisrael. To what degree is that inherent and important and influential, and to what degree is it not? And like it or not, Chazal said, yes, there is such a thing, and it is important.
Halacha does this, yeah.
What?
Halacha
clearly does. But forget halacha, we're talking about the nature of a person, the Ofi, right? Chazal believed that.
As much as we would like to say, every ger is accepted completely into Am Yisrael, but they're not accepted completely because there are halachot that are applied to them. Then mamzeres, it's not really your fault, but like there are halachos that apply to them.
Correct.
So
correct. Well,
what are the three
attributes of the Gemara says of the Jewish people?
Baishanim,
Gomle Chasadim, Baishanim, Rachmanim, Gomle Chasadim. What does that mean? Just because you were born Jewish, you get embarrassed about things? You're compassionate? You know what I'm saying? You're Gomel Chesed? It means that Chazal believe that the Jewish people inherently have an inherent spiritual nature. You know what I'm saying?
It reminds me of my Babi and all the Babis she used to live with who used to talk, and that was how they saw the world. Like, right. if your parents had a PhD, then the children were also yichus. Smart.
Right, yeah, right. What is yichus? Right, nowadays, what do we say? What is yichus? Who cares? What does yichus matter?
And if you didn't have the right yichus.
But obviously, if you read Kliyakar, he says, yichus matters.
But maybe in those days, yichus matters, and in these days, it doesn't as much.
It doesn't matter.
In these days, there's a lot more emphasis on the choices that you make and the way that you come out. And you get plenty of kids from good families who go bad, and plenty of kids from bad families
right.
who go good. So what does that mean?
So you're saying
the
that
bad kid over the good kid.
Well, what you're saying, though, is that Chazal's valuation, they valued Yichus. They thought it was really important. That Yichus was critical in order to...
Because maybe it was, because in those days, the parent, in both cases, say with Yitzchak and Ishmael, was Abraham.
Okay.
So Abraham is Abraham. So the only difference between the children is their yichus, where they came from originally. Mm-hmm. But these days it's not necessarily.
What do you do with Rivka and Yitzchak?
The whole shidduch scene is totally about yichus. I don't understand what's those days and these days. These days are totally.
Yeah, but what she's saying is she doesn't agree with that.
It's misplaced.
It is misplaced.
It's like I want someone tall and beautiful. I mean, that's just stupid.
But you know,
that's not yichus.
That's what
yichus. No, I'm saying, right. Lehavdil, it's the same issue. Like, you're looking at not the person. You're looking at, you know, something out there
talking
away from
it.
And money.
And money.
That's yichus.
You're not necessarily getting a good shidduch because you ask for the yichus.
But all things being equal, is the yichus important?
Are.
No, no, in second. Let's say they are. All things being equal, is yichus a value?
Only if you know how to read it.
Okay. I would say...
Hindsight is 20/20. That's another thing I want to point out. When you look at Yaakov versus Esav, you can start to say why. When you look at Yishmael versus Yitzchak, but But the problem is that you don't know lechatchila what, you know, the same character trait can lead towards being a shakran and being a politician. One, you know,
what's the difference?
But you know what I'm saying? But to use it to defraud people and take their money and to lead.
Sounds like politics to me.
But one is, you know what, you're still.
Yes.
Right, you have the same character traits, but to one, okay, so you're stealing a little bit of money, but you're representing Israel and you're doing good things. And the other, all you're doing is increasing your bank account.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying is that there. I think what happens is that in the end, people look at you and say, oh, you turned out this way because of. But in fact, people can take the same character.
But I would take your point and say, I would take your point and take it the exact other way. What is Yichus? Yichus is looking and saying, what are the character traits in that family?
But you don't know.
And then when you turn out bad, you find that distant aunt who, you know, who was bad.
Well, you don't know.
Always, if you look in any family,
Yitzchak and Rivka had two such different children. You would look, Yitzchak and Rivka, what better parents-in-law could you ask for?
Right.
But look what happened. You either get a Yaakov or you get an Esav.
No.
So how do you know? Their Yichus was the same. You've got to look at the individual. What does their Yichus mean?
Okay, these raise very good questions. I'm not entirely sure what the answer is. All I can tell you is that Chazal clearly gave stock to it. And it's not something that's, you know, antiquated and doesn't apply today. These are.
She's making a point. Like, it's not like when you say with Yishmael and Yitzchak who had different mothers. If you're going to say it's because of Rivka's bad roots, so how do you explain the difference between the two children of the same parents?
Well, meaning one of them got Yitzchak's nature and one of them got Rivka's nature.
Rivka's
family's nature.
Exactly. Rivka herself was a tzedekah.
So then what was the point of Avram going to...
How much worse would it have been?
To get Rivka's...
Right, meaning, right. You know, like,
because
you would have two bad children. Right. What are you going to... You know, who knows? You know what I'm saying?
That's the point. The point is not about the... It is about their nature, but how you raise them, like we used to say beforehand. Maybe they tried to raise them in the same way. And then the one works and the other can't work. Can't work for the one.
I was going into this, this shiur, there's no good answer you could say, like, oh, that's why. You know, oh, now we know how you can know what happened to Esav, and now we know what happened to Yaakov and why exactly they ended up that way. What is clear is that it's important to be, I would say, aware of these issues. I think there is such a thing as yichus. I think that there is such a thing as inherent nature. You know what I'm saying? That I think we all have our good parts and our bad parts.
Those are different things. Inherent nature and yichus are different. Because Yaakov and Esav had completely different inherent natures, but they had the same yichus.
What I would argue to you, at least when you look at it a little more carefully, the yichus of Avraham, the yichus of Yaakov, right, he did have the yichus of Rivka too. And you know what I'm saying? The Yaakov, parts of Rivka came out in Yaakov. Maybe not at first. You know, and parts of Yitzchak came out in Esav also. Maybe not at first. And even though the Midrash paints, you know, these black and white pictures, it's not as, it's much more nuanced than that. And that the yichus is important. And the yichus is relevant. And neither one of them escaped their family yichus in a sense.
It also makes you think, like, where's the bechira in all this? Either they were born with a certain nature, you know, they were born with their nature, and they went in that direction, and that's it. So if you're born with a really, really bad nature, it makes you think that there's no hope. Like,
how can you blame a parent for anything?
What do you mean? I think...
Or the person.
See, it's really interesting because, you know, this comes up a lot in America. Right? There's a huge debate in America that goes on all the time about something called affirmative action. Affirmative action means, right, if you are a minority, should we give you preferential treatment? Right? So all of the white, rich Americans always say, well, that goes against everything we believe in. We believe in equality. Everybody should have the same opportunities. And of course, all the minorities say, that's very nice for you because you were born in a land of opportunity. But if you're born without that opportunity, and if you're born without that education, if you're born without that, well, you whatever you want to call it, you know, I've been at educational conferences where the hardest thing that teachers have to deal with in Israel is the parents don't care whether their kids go to school or not, because the parents say, "I didn't really go to high school. My kid will work in my store." What's the difference? So is that an ingrained value? Is that yichus? Is that in, is you know what I'm saying? You call it what you will. What do you do if a parent just doesn't think education is so important? So how in the world are you going to get your kid to do homework? It's impossible. So birth really does matter to some degree. And even though the kids are in the same school, this kid came from Yad Binyamin, that kid came from, you know, some neighborhood in Kiryat Malachi. They both go to the same school. They both have the same opportunities. But do they?
That's because your word yichus is actually conflating two ideas. One, the idea of your genetic background, and the other is the idea of your environment.
One second. When they talk about the yichus of when they talk about the yichus of Rivka, what are they talking about?
I think they're talking about the genetics of it, because she herself was
different to him.
I mean,
really?
Well, she was a Balaam.
Right, but
she told Yaakov to trick Yitzchak.
Correct.
Which takes significant negative.
Right.
But then you could say, well, Sarah told Abraham to send his child away. I mean,
no, but Sarah, you could. That's different.
No, but it's because they had.
It's a little bit that is negative that she did that.
That she tricked her husband.
Sometimes you have to lie.
Wow, that's a totally another shear that we're not going to talk about today. I think that Rivka never really escaped.
Yeah, who she?
How do you escape your? Can you totally escape your upbringing?
But upbringing.
Nature, whatever.
Like, but that's your environment. That's what you see, right? Like, if you grow up in a house where you see people lying, then yeah, you're going to think lying is acceptable. That's
right.
And that's not the same as having a great great uncle who lied.
Who you never ever.
Who you never met. Like, that's saying that you're one of your parents.
So now we're getting to those, you know, like, double-blind studies of twins who were separated at birth, and, you know what I'm saying? And what's really important? Is there such a thing as inherent nature? Don't they say the answer is yes? Don't they come out and say that kids are...
With twins.
Yaakov and Esav were twins.
Same genetic makeup.
But Yaakov and Esav were twins, but not other.
Doesn't the Midrash come away?
I think, yeah.
Whitewashing Rivka's... action.
Of course the Midrash whitewashes Rivka's actions, because I remember what you said, the Midrash tells you either good or bad.
Such a darshan and so much about Midrash, and you're like completely ignoring the whole...
I mean,
they don't come away and say she lied to her husband.
Did she?
She saw the what needed to be done.
Did she? But, so does every guy. You know what I'm saying? I saw what needed to be done, and I did it. And so what if I had to lie to do it?
Didn't we learn with Rivka that they say her whole lineage to show how different she was from her family? She moved away from her family.
Let me just end off. I'll end up by reading you one Rashi. Okay. Look at pasuk chaf aleph. Okay. Look at pasuk chaf aleph. Vayetar, she couldn't have any children. Vayetar Yitzchak LaHashem lenochach ishto ki akarahi. Okay, Yitzchak prayed to Hashem lenochach ishto towards his wife, opposite his wife, because she was an akara, she couldn't have children. Vayetar lo Hashem, vatar Rivka ishto. And Hashem vayetar
lo.
Hashem answered who? Why him? Rashi. Vayetar lo. This is the third Rashi or fourth Rashi. Rashi says lo velo la. Hashem answered him, but not her. Why? She'en dome tfilat tzadik ben tzadik l'tfilat tzadik ben rasha.
But she's a tzadik.
Ben rasha.
But
you can't, you know what I'm saying? What do you do with that, Rashi? I don't know. But her tfilah, for whatever reason, wasn't accepted like his was, because she was a tzadik ben rasha.
But that's Hashem's shikul. But the reality is that she's a tzadik. Right?
Our children are all Hashem's shikul.
They're still calling her a tzadik.
Yes. But
which would lead me to believe that
according to your shita, Hashem should ignore the fact that she's a tzaddik ben rasha because she's a tzaddikus.
In my shita, I don't tell Hashem what to do. but I'm serious. But on just on the face of it, if you think about the house that she brought her children up in, she was a tzaddik.
Yes.
She wasn't lying. She wasn't cheating. She wasn't swindling. She was a tzaddik.
She brought back everything that she started.
Right, she brought back everything that Sarah did, right, yes.
Okay, so she was a tzaddik.
Okay.
So then if you're saying that Esav took things, then it wasn't things that he was growing up around. It wasn't that she said all the time, oh, don't bother doing your homework, what does
right.
education matter?
Right.
It wasn't that she was lying and that he lied because, you know, I think we have to believe that this was one situation.
That's your question. Guys, you in your children, you don't look at some of them and say, it's just like my parents.
Oh, all the time.
Nothing to having to do with you. I mean, especially when they're young. You see it like, just like, you know, like one of our children is just like her father. Just exactly like him.
But it's not,
you know, not bad thing, God forbid. No, but physically. Just like the way he runs and the way he looks at you, know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just like him. Huh? And, but we didn't do anything. Yeah. What are you going to do? It's the way it is.
But and again,
then you try.
But that's something inherent, and that's
exactly
that's the question of nature versus nurture. So here, the nurture was fine, and so therefore you have to say it's the nature.
That's what Kliyakar said. But you, right? So now we're agreeing.
But then where does it
great, lose? That's a great place to end. Yeah. You know, everybody agrees with me.
It's not a great place to end.
What are you going
to
do with Yato?
The bottom line is...
Ben Sadik, who...
The bottom line is... No.
He didn't cheat about the Bechor. His mother told him to do that. He was in
Bechor.
He was Kibbut out of
him. Oh,
it was easy to do that. You know what I'm saying? He was testing his brother to see if he really cared about the Bechor.
That's easy.
It depends on how you want to look at it.
But it's obvious. Even Avraham Avinu couldn't mold his son. So what's the point?
That he molded
one. Why bother?
The bottom line
is every parent is important.
Yeah.
Why go through all
that's what they say. The bottom line, if every parent is important,
Davin.
Seriously,
Davin, for your kids,
so to me...
I'm not saying that the bottom
to
line
me,
is sure you should do the Ishtadlut, of course.
Yeah.
But if they're not going to the shiur.
Not
even if you're
going
to control and you have to govern.
Basically what I said in the beginning.
But I think, to me, what comes out from this is that you have... Like I said before, it's so important to be aware of unique natures of different children and to apply different rules to different children. That's what comes out for me. That at least when this Kliyakar try to learn something for us, you can't control it totally. But you can't. A lot of things are really not under control. But to accept each child's nature as different and to treat them differently, that's, I think, harder to do than to treat everybody the same. And to be attuned to that difference in nature, and
that's
to be aware of it.
That's a very fine line, because then you're saying that you had perhaps different expectations for different children, and you're kind of just molding their potential with your expectations.
Sure, but don't you think that's true? Isn't it unreasonable to have the same expectations?
Yes,
for
but then
children?
Can it be different sometimes?
Yes.
Like if I say, well, you don't take tests as well, so I don't expect you to do so well on the test. What's that telling my child that? I expect you can only do this well.
Yeah, but I'm saying then, what are that child's other strengths? I expect you to excel in following directions. I expect you to excel in, you know,
other areas.
In other areas.
5 months.
Or else you just
yes, it is.
Them, it's how much you try.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right. Yes,
okay.
It is.
I also
and the kids hate that though.
Yeah, but it's
like
why? Why do they hate that? Because they get the same grades as everybody else. They want, you know what I'm saying? They inherently think, as long as you don't really mean that.
If you look at success after school, you know, once you're out of college, the people who succeed, according to society's judgment,
right,
are not necessarily the people who
have nothing to do with
the people who got the best SATs.
Nothing to do with it.
And they're not the people who necessarily got into the best colleges. And they're not necessarily the
people. I sent a blog post about that. If you look at the Forbes 50 most rich people in the world, the 50 billionaires in the world, right? 5 of the first 10, you know, didn't graduate college easily. You know what I'm saying? So, but what does it mean that we put them in a system that equates them all and tells them all they have the same responsibilities and requirements? You know, I talk about this every so often. We talk about how the whole school system is inherently unfair to certain children.
Right.
You know, it's just unfair to them, and like they're set up totally for failure, and then you wonder why they fail. Because they're in a school system that does not attenuate to their strengths. You know, we're talking about...
They're supposed to all be the same.
Talking about a child, there was a certain child that we know that just can't sit still. Like, why do we think that every child is supposed to learn from books? A lot of children are not made to sit and study. Right? Yitzchak was, Yodea Tzayit, Yaakov, each time. They were different. But yet, what do we do with all our children? We take to the Esav... I'm sorry, the Esav who wants to go run and play. No, you have to sit down. And if you can't sit still, you're bad. And if you can't do it still, what will we do?
Punish.
No, we'll drug you until you can.
Yeah.
Why? Because we don't have a system for the Esavs of the world. And then we wonder, well, what happened to him? Oh, I don't know what happened to him.
Then they have to go to a yeshiva for the kids who didn't succeed in school.
Right, and then they know that they're in the bad, like, okay, now if you ever if you ever taught a class like that, you walk in the first day and they say, yeah, we're the idiots. They know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So what are you going to do? That's the way the society is set up. We set up our Esavs for failure. You have to be aware of that. And that's where we'll stop.